What's up, my loves? It's Lala Kent.
With Randall.
And we are back at it.
Wow. I gotta say something. I mean, last week's episode, I was excited just because the whole astrology thing, the fact that I got bad ankles, I mean, all that was cool because I had no idea. How could you even know that? But I had no idea that just talking amongst friends would blow up into this huge, you know, media storm about the relationship. Although, I mean, I guess just because I've been around it, but it was pretty interesting.
Wait, you had no idea that it would turn into a media storm? I did. They've never done like an interview. They've been photographed, and I asked Megan beforehand, are there things like that you, I always want to make sure our guests feel safe when they come on the podcast. We're not here to like spill tea that you don't want spilled. We're not messy like that.
Right.
And so I just asked simple questions and.
You don't want to spill tea on them while they're sitting there?
No, I just like, I don't want to be. Oh my God. Ooh. You're such a dad joke.
Boy, joke. That went right over your head. The tea flew right over your head.
Dad jokes tend to go over my head.
Yeah, well, you know what? I consider them high level jokes.
Well, that's sad.
Okay, moving on. But I agree with you. I agree with you that no, the answer is I did not know that this would turn into that, because the thing is, everybody, it was that cat out of the bag. It was like, it was already everywhere. I didn't think it would be like the pinnacle of interviews with them. Like we're sitting down with the new couple. It wasn't like that. It was about astrology and that. Anyway, that's my take. So it was exciting.
Yes. So for those of you who are just tuning into the Give Them Lala with Randall podcast, Randall and I are talking about last week's episode where we
had Megan Fox and Machine Gun Kelly, who are a couple now.
Correct. And they spilled some epic tea along with
like how they
came to be. But it was more of how they came to be. It was like how the universe impacted their relationship.
But you have to admit, I've been around them for months now, 6 months, and you spent a lot of time with them. We vacationed with them. I did not think that it went. I mean, I think it was even too deep for me. I mean, I think I was just like the twin flame split in half thing. They lost me, but they're deep. They're in it deep.
It's amazing.
Yeah, I love it. And by the way, they're very close friends of mine. I know I say that about a lot of guests, but I do bring a lot of my friends on these things and your friends. And it was really special to see people really happy. So that's all I'm going to say about that. And now I'm going to move on to something I would like to talk about.
So I, with everything that's been going on, and I've been very open about my sobriety and, you know, my issues with mental health and things like that. And I won't say who did this, but, you know, I'm talking about the Kanye West issue and him being bipolar and how people are, it's a media frenzy.
Okay, but hold on. So for somebody like me, who's not as cool or in the know, I've seen some things on the internet. So basically what is going on is Kanye and Kim have been having issues. Kanye was running for president, but that's not for real. The running for president was for, I'm confused because I don't know. Just explain to me.
The thing is like, I'm not super in the know either.
Yes, you are.
Well, yes, you are. Who knows if Kim K and Kanye West were doing great? Let's just assume they were.
Okay.
Kanye said he was running for president. All things good. Whatever.
Okay.
Then he
So he really is running for, I'm asking. That's why I don't know.
Well, no one knows.
Okay. So he said he's running for president.
Correct.
But we don't know if that's 100% valid or not, but he's announced he's running for president.
Right. But then he did a rally. He went and did this rally, which I believe was a rally for like Kanye 20, whatever.
Okay. So he's running for president.
And he mentioned that North, his child with Kim Kardashian, he wanted to abort the kid.
Okay.
And just was telling some very intimate personal things.
Okay.
And
at a rally. Running for president.
Correct. And
okay.
Basically after that, Kim was not happy and made a statement. And then
she made a statement regarding his statement at a rally. So clearly she's unhappy. He's saying things about their personal life that she doesn't want out there. And now the relationship is...
I think if Kanye were just an asshole, she would be like, I'm done with this motherfucker. But at the end of the day, like, he's been diagnosed as bipolar. So he was having an episode and he went onto Twitter after this rally and was having an episode.
And has he come out and said anything in that version?
He made a statement about how sorry he was to his wife, Kim, and how she's always had his back and she's the love of his life. And, you know, for me, I've always been someone who I don't take mental health
lightly.
One of my cast members at the reunion, when I was having an emotional thing happen, made a comment that I might be bipolar. I don't think that it's something that should just be thrown out there. I think it's gross.
And by the way, and with regard to mental health, you know, I'm 49 years old. I've been around a long time now. And I've, you know, had family who have had bipolar. You know, my grandmother was bipolar. My, you know, other family members in my family have serious health issues in the same, you know, with similar bipolar issues. And it is not to be taken lightly. It's incredibly challenging. And you know, when you have a family member you love or a mm-hmm. friend that you love or whoever it may be, you know, dealing with bipolar and getting that person to a stable functioning,
right.
You know, and I had a family member who when they did not take their medication,
right.
would lock themselves in their office for weeks at a time, blow through all their money, you know, do very manic type things,
right.
and it was very, very hard for our family. We always supported, always rallied, and always encouraged. But, you know, you do the best you can, but you also want to be there for them. And sometimes they won't take the help. They have no interest because they're in that episode or they're not taking their medication that does help them. And I've dealt with that firsthand. And it can be really, really tough. So having said that, not getting off course, I can understand if that's what it is, bipolar.
Well, he's been diagnosed as having bipolar disorder a doctor.
Okay.
And for me, there's such
a stigma. Have they ever come out? Because I don't know this. Have they ever come out as a couple and said,
he's bipolar, yes.
Oh, he said.
They talk about it all the time.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
His new album is titled, I believe, or like his most recent is, I'm bipolar, it's awesome, or like something.
Okay, so this is obviously.
It's very much a known thing.
Okay, got it. Okay, I just didn't know. I'm not in the know.
Right, and for me to look at that and see so many people commenting or making memes, it's just, I get that we live in a society where there's a lot of things that happen and we make light of them and we try to create comedy out of them. At the end of the day, you know, throwing a word out like, oh, you must be bipolar is not cool. You making fun of someone who's having ups and downs is not cool.
Well, it's heartbreaking. And if you've experienced it firsthand or watched somebody, like you're watching somebody, as you're saying in the media, that's very hard to see that because you're seeing somebody that's in need of help. And a lot of lives are ruined. Families are broken over this if it's not. So I don't think it's funny at all. And clearly whoever is making fun of is, I just don't think it's
a
funny subject.
Well, that's what social media is about. Social media is about wanting to know the ins and outs of everyone's life. And I think just because this family, the Kardashian family, who's had a reality show much larger than the one I'm on, but there are things that still should remain private.
Yeah.
And so it's hard to watch someone like Kanye have this episode of him.
Who, by the way, Kanye West, even though I'm not in the know,
right.
I do know and respect Kanye West is one of the greatest musical artists, businessmen,
right.
and pioneers of so many different industries.
Of course, and that should never be discredited.
No, I mean, this is just the guy that
it's part of his genius.
There's not a lot of people I like could say I look up to or influence, like to look up and see what they've done. I mean, okay, that's wrong. There are a lot of people that have, but most people don't know that unless you know me personally, who's influenced me. Kanye West, for sure. I don't know anything about the personal stuff, but on a business level, as an artist, as the brand he has created, as a vocal
artist.
Yeah, but a very vocal artist. I mean, he's just one of the greatest that will ever walk this planet. So
and that's what's so hard is you don't a lot of people, when they see behavior like this, discredit his genius and look at him as, you know, someone who's very volatile. And it's, you know,
and need some support. You know, it's not fun. Course. Right. Meaning you're saying on the social media, which I have not seen this part where they make fun. But I mean, I think mental health and any of these kinds of issues are should never be taken lightly.
And I'm like, I'm the type of person who uses comedy for everything. But there's just something about a mental illness that is, for me, just throwing it out there and either making fun of it or like labeling someone as something, because that's happened to me. It happened to me at the reunion.
Yeah.
And it's just like everything is so minimized in our society right now.
Well, listen, this is awesome because I didn't even know this was going on. I mean, I didn't know this level of it was going on.
Let me tell you about we came off of like a very light and fun podcast last week. And this week I wanted to get a little bit more real because we're going into the 100th day of quarantine, COVID, all of it. And I've noticed people's mental health kind of crashing. And I just want to make today about mental health, sobriety, and try to acknowledge things that people have asked about. So
I respect that and I'm excited about that. So I'm gonna have no humor today because
we can have humor.
No, you just said it has to be serious. So I'm not gonna.
No, it's not about being serious. It's about acknowledgement.
So I can tell jokes?
We can tell jokes.
All right, we'll be right back. Can I say we'll be back, please?
Say it.
Okay, we'll be back.
We're back.
We're back with the heavy podcast. Go ahead with the heavy podcast. I don't even know how to contribute to a heavy podcast. Like, we have to be heavy?
It's not supposed to be heavy.
I'm joking. I respect you want to address, like...
I want to address that. Yeah. And also, like, I did a sobriety post the other day, and I got a lot of people that were just reaching out about sobriety and how it kind of goes hand in hand with mental health. And so I just wanted to do a podcast that was like not ignoring things that are important. You know, there's only so many things we can talk about that like are not fucking important, you know?
Can I say something?
Yeah.
I do agree with you. And I think that talking about sobriety, because I see a lot of people are very inspired by you. So I respect that.
Thank you.
Before we get so heavy, I just thought we could just tell a joke. So I have a joke. Why do we tell actors to break a leg?
Why?
Because every play has a cast.
Wait, I have a joke too.
Okay, go ahead. Then we'll get serious.
Okay. What did one saggy boob say to the other saggy boob?
What?
We better perk up before somebody thinks we're nuts.
That's pretty good.
It's cute, pretty right? Good.
Yes. Okay.
All right. So back to...
Well, let's talk about the dinosaur... No, elephant. Let's talk about the elephant in the room.
Okay.
Since you want to have a heavy podcast. I'm joking every time I say that. I think it's kind of like my original joke of Lala with Ran. Okay. Yeah. It's kind of like I'm going to go with it for a while.
Okay. I like it.
Okay. So first of all, you showed me, as well as many other people... 400 articles that came out.
I didn't show them to you. You showed them to me.
That's
true.
Not true.
That is true.
Okay, well,
the only person in this relationship that Googles.
Okay, that's a lie.
Okay, we'll pretend.
That's a lie. That's such a lie. You're lying to our fans.
No, you're looking at...
Lala Kent.
You don't send me articles.
You don't read your own shit?
Do you send them to me?
Do you read your own shit? Yes or no? I'm asking.
Yes, I read what you send to me.
No, do you read also your own shit online?
No.
Okay, that's a lie. I'm caught.
It's not a lie.
That's such not a lie. Oh my God. Look.
I found out that.
Okay, can I just say my side of the story?
Do your thing.
Thank you.
Okay.
Whether I read it or 400 of my friends sent it to me.
Okay, you have to keep your voice a little down because let's be honest. We're doing this on a cell phone because...
Can I just... You're taking me out of my moment. What I'm saying is, whether I read it or people sent it to me, which a lot of people sent it to me, more of my friends sent it to me, like they were concerned. They're like, did you and Lala break up? I was like, well, we're sitting in a house right now, water skiing on a boat. Did I miss something? And then I realized because we have never followed each other from the day we've met.
I've had you blocked since I got with you.
Same.
Yeah.
Okay. So hold on. So of course I didn't know that you had removed, or what do you call it?
Archived.
I didn't even know you could do that.
I did. A fan told me.
Right. So you archived all of our pictures, which then led people to believe we broke up.
Yeah.
Which I was shocked and didn't get the message in the house. So I wish you would have told me.
Yeah.
But then I said, so why are they writing all these articles? You said, because I archived you. And I was like, what do you mean you archived me? What am I, 18? So I guess you get pissed off at me. And if we get into a tit, which by the way, we've been together. We're a married couple. So the bottom line is we've been together a long time. So we get in tits. Everybody gets in tits. That's relationships.
It's a tiff, not a tit.
Oh, it's not a tit?
No, oh, it's a tiff.
A tiff?
You get into a tiff, not
oh,
a
I
tit.
Thought a tit. A tit. It's not funny. I'm trying to have a serious podcast. So you want to have a serious podcast.
Okay. Around.
So no. We get in a tiff.
Yes.
Okay. And every couple gets in tiffs. And when you've been together a long time, you get in tiffs. And when we got in a tiff, I didn't know that you archive my photos.
Okay, I do.
So what is that? And then I don't even know. Hold on. And here's the worst part. I didn't even know you archived my photos. I had to find out by an article online.
Yeah.
And then I came in and I said, did you break up over the tiff? And you're like, are you crazy?
No. So here's what happened, which, and don't cut me off, please. Let me just do my thing for 5 seconds. And then
I know.
You can,
by the way, your fans
your
hate
bit.
When I cut you off. So I'm going to be
hate
quiet.
It. Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
So basically, I have started posting the 12-step prayers.
Okay.
I started with number one, yeah. Then two, then three, and then the day that I archived your photos was step four, the step four prayer, which basically—
And what does that say?
That is where you acknowledge that it is you who has turned your life into a mess.
Oh.
And you talk about your resentments, and then you have to acknowledge the part that you played. Basically, the fourth step in the program is the hardest step that you have to do.
You have to take.
For me and for many other people.
Okay.
Like when you hear about the 12-step program, most people will say the fourth step takes a very long time.
So you posted this step on the day that we had a tiff, on the day
that
you archived me, and that's why.
So everyone put those two things together.
Okay.
And it was like a media frenzy of like, Lala Kent says her life is a mess.
Okay.
And it's like, well, I'm not saying that. That's the prayer says that.
Okay. Can I ask a question? Can I ask a question for the future?
Yes.
When people who are not with a reality star get in tiffs, they just say, you know, they have their tiff, and an hour later, the tiff is over. Like, our tiff was over.
Good for them.
An hour later. Wait. See, you didn't let me get it out.
Okay, tell me.
And then we were on the boat water skiing. Our tiff was, like, not even that big of a tiff. And can you not archive me next time?
I can't promise. You guys, listen.
What is this archive? What is, I mean,
okay,
you can't even hurt me with archiving me. If I don't even follow you, so how do I even know you archived me?
It doesn't hurt anybody.
Well, you were trying to hurt.
No, I was actually just trying to make myself feel better.
Oh, okay. Because you can't screw somebody archiving them if they can't even see your Instagram.
No, it had nothing to do with you. It had
just
everything to do
yourself.
With me. 100%.
This is insanity.
And can I tell you? It's like this. You archive because then when you're back on good terms, you just add them right back. They go right back into the same place. It's all good.
Oh, because the article, because you told me about the archive literally an hour after the tiff was over. And the funny thing of it all is all these articles that friends of mine had sent us said you deleted. So I was like, she deleted or not deleted.
It looks what like a delete. It looks like a delete, but it's just an archive.
I know. But here's the thing. It doesn't affect me because I don't follow you and you don't follow me. So who are you? I'm trying to
it's
understand.
It's not to hurt anybody. It's to make myself feel better.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
Here's the thing. Most people, when they get in tiffs, they may be like, fuck this, I'm going to go have a drink. Fuck this, I'm going to go do this. Or whatever it may be. Me, right. I'm like, you know what? My petty ass is going to delete all his shit. Just so for 5 minutes, because that makes me feel empowered.
I think it was a few hours.
Whatever.
I think
and, you know,
it was. That's what I heard.
Can I tell you? A lot of, like...
Because you came to me and then showed me that...
By the way, there was this, like, Instagram with, like, not even a lot of followers, but I saw it, so I just had to comment. And it was like, Lala Kent deleted all her pictures of Rant, and then the caption was like, "This is hurtful." And I was like, "If this is hurtful, you're soft as fuck." Because that shit is not.
Well, let me say something hurtful to that Instagram. First of all, thank you for having my back. Whatever site that is, I support you guys. Second of all, it wasn't hurtful because how could it be hurtful? I didn't even know she had done that until one of my best friends sent me a few articles. Was like, "Are you guys okay?" And I was like, "Well, we're on the boat right now and we're playing Rummy Q." So I don't know, but I'm glad that helped you.
I think everyone has their, like, I actually got a lot of people that were like, "Girl, I do that same thing all the time."
Who does that?
My fellow immature people.
No, I think that's you. I think you invented this
archiving. You think I'm the only person on the planet?
I've never heard somebody archiving somebody.
Well, you're old as shit.
Well, that's why you're archiving me. I'm an archiver.
Because I'm young. I'm young as shit and I act that way. But bottom line is, whatever. If that's the most petty thing I do in my life, like, I'm fucking chilling on it.
Okay, so I respect you.
Like,
okay.
Whatever.
Okay, so I just want to say a couple things because I really am excited about this episode. So we're going to have to take a quick break again. We're going to come back.
Let me say this before we move on.
I want to talk about sobriety when we come back.
No, we're going to talk about sobriety when we come back. Okay. But for my fellow chicks out there who want to delete their man off their Instagram, just archive it because then you can add it back. I don't judge you. Let us have immature, petty moments. Like, whatever. It is what it is.
Okay.
I love you.
I'm glad that we don't follow each other because I think if I had seen that on your gram.
I'm glad we don't follow each other either. Because
no.
I could only see so many of your mugshot pictures that you take.
Okay, now you're being petty. So what I might do now is I might delete, not even archive your shit. I'm going to delete them all because that I want to get back at you.
Do you, boo?
No, I'm not going to do that because I wouldn't have any followers if I did that.
Okay. We'll be right back.
And we're back. I'm running the interview now because I'm going to ask a little bit for a few minutes here.
You're going to interview me?
Yeah, I want to just ask you a little bit about your sobriety because, first of all, I think that people don't realize that the fact, first of all, you've been sober a year and 9 months. So 3 more months, we're going to hit 2 years, which is a milestone. I tell you, I don't care what company you're building, how much, you know, success or money you make, mm-hmm. how many TV shows you do produce, star. None of that's important to me. Your sobriety to me is going to always, for me, be the thing that I cannot believe and I'm so proud of what you've done and what you do. And people don't realize, I mean, people who are sober realize, and people who have family and friends who are sober, but I think unless you really know the amount of work that I see you do, and I'm talking about every day you're either reading, working with, you know, people that your sponsor, you're on Zoom meetings, you were going to meetings obviously pre-COVID. So I just need to give you the acknowledgement that I am very, very proud of your sobriety and the person that you've become through your sobriety. So I always want you to know that.
Thank you.
The question I have is for somebody who doesn't know sobriety in that respect. Does it get easier, like from day one to today? Was, you know, because I never asked you that. Like 6 months in, were you like, "I got this," or were you, or a year in, were you like, or is it just always a work in progress? I'm curious the evolution from where you started to where you are today. How did it change, or how does it change?
I don't think that it ever gets easier. I'm a conqueror, you know. Like I conquered drinking. I was the fucking best at it. The daunting thing about sobriety is that it can never be conquered. Whether you have 60 days of sobriety or 60 years of sobriety, there's one thing that could send you back to square one. You have to work every single day. And it can never, the disease can never be beat. So for me, I wouldn't say that it gets easier. For me, it's my routine, and I would be lying if I said there haven't been times where I've been fixated on a bottle of wine. The difference now is that I think before I do. I know that I've worked extremely hard to get to this place, and I pick up the damn phone and I call my fucking sponsor.
If you're having a moment where you're saying, "My thoughts are going in the old place mm-hmm. that I used to go." So now you're saying, "Okay, I have the tools. I know what to do. And I've learned that what I need to do if I get to that point where I'm starting to think the wrong thoughts, basically.
Of course.
Right. But that's a huge, but so clearly in the first 30 or 60 days, I mean, I was there obviously, and I know how hard you've worked, but I mean, you know, it seems, and again, this is just, I'm with you every day. It seems that you talk about it a lot less. Meaning when, this is what I remember, the first 90 days,
right.
You talked about everything we did, was about, you know.
Well, because at that point in time, my identity was, I'm sober.
Right.
That consumed 100% of my identity, whereas now.
To learn the new.
Right, whereas now it's like, I'm Lala, I come from Utah, I do this, and oh, by the way,
I don't drink. Right.
I'm sober.
Right.
So a lot of people have like said to me, not a lot of people, but there have been a few people that have written comments saying, you smoking dope doesn't make you sober, and I want to make it very clear, I don't smoke weed anymore, I've never done a drug in my life, and I don't drink, and there's nothing that I put in my body that changes
your mental state.
My reality is always, this is the clear picture.
And I will say, I've been there every day with you, and you are 1 year and 9 months, no weed, no drink, no anything. And even when it gets really rough for you, or you've had some rough days, where challenging days like we all have, whether it be in the relationship, or it be at home with your own family, or it be with work. I have seen you have challenging days. I've been part of those challenging days. And at the end of the day, your sobriety is always number one. I mean, in terms of, so it's very impressive.
My sobriety and God are my number one priorities. They come before you. They come before my mom.
You just said your priority is God. I'm here.
That is some sacrilegious shit. He's going to fucking smite you. What I mean is...
No, I understand. It's number one.
It's number one because without God,
and without,
I'm not sober. And without sobriety, I am not useful
100%.
To you or anyone else in my life. So those two things have to come hand in hand. And
I respect that. And I, by the way, there's been many days where you said to me, you know, either A, you need, like earlier on in the process, and it's only a year and 9 months, and I know... To me, that's a tremendous amount of time, but I know in the program, you guys don't look, you know, you're not looking at it that way. You always tell me, you're like, one day at a time, you don't.
Right. But like we don't say, I'm almost 2 years sober.
Right.
We say, I am a year, 9 months, 6 days sober.
Right. And
not a day more.
But it is impressive because I do remember earlier on some things where like we would be at an event or something and you would say, okay, it's 12:30. That's enough for me. Time to go home. Like you kind of knew today. I feel like you just want to go home because you can't stand the event or you're bored.
Well, the thing is about that is like I'll be at an event and people will be drinking and like coming up to me and they'll need more alcohol and I'm looking around and I'm like, I'm seeing what's happening and like y'all have peaked. Like it's not, I'm seeing it. It ain't that fun. Like I'm watching it.
And the hangovers are horrible.
It's time for me to go home. And people ask me how I stay sober, and I have to attribute that. I know that the program I'm in is anonymous, and I would never tell anybody who I see in my program. But for me, the program is not just about not picking up a drink. And I've learned this. Sadly, it took me up until recently to realize me not picking up a drink is not the full picture. It's about becoming a better human being because my behavior on many occasions, I may not be intoxicated, but my behavior is drunk.
Right.
So that's a big reason why I called my sponsor and I said, I need to go back to step whatever because I don't want to be this version of myself where like someone says the wrong thing and I'm fucking popping off at them, acting like, you know, like my mouth is drunk. My mind is still drunk. And the program is about breaking those habits.
Well, I am, as you know, your biggest fan when it comes to I'm your biggest fan, period, because I love you and you're my best friend. But I'm also a biggest fan because I can't believe the commitment that you made a year and 9 months ago, 6 days, and how you have honored that for yourself. And nobody told you to go get sober. Nobody said, Lala, this is it. Nobody threatened you to do that. You just woke up and you said, this is the only choice I have. And I remember you came to the office and told me that. And then you went straight to start the program, and here we are. So I commend you, and I give you mad love and mad respect, and I always will. And I tell you every day how proud I am of you.
Well, thank you. And on a lighter note.
Yeah, fuck, when's a lighter note?
I want to read some voicemails. Again, my advice to anybody who is trying to get sober, if you're trying to lead the type of life or be on the path that I am on, if the program is intimidating to you, I would recommend just going and picking up the big book and just highlighting and making notes of things that resonate with you and go from there. I know it can be very overwhelming, but that is my piece of advice. All right, let's go to some voicemails to lighten this friggin' mood.
Hi, Lala and Randall. This is Chelsea calling from Southern California. And just wanted to say I absolutely love your podcast. I literally look forward to it every single Wednesday. It gets me through work and definitely through these crazy times. One question, this is going to be so basic, but I don't care. I'm basic AF. And I really do want to know, what are some of your guys' similarities? Like, what are some things that you and Rand, Lala, you and Rand, like, just you have in common, like some things that you're just like obsessed over together and you love it? And then also counter question, like, what are your differences? Like, what is something that you absolutely love to do that Rand can't stand and vice versa? I want to know about both of you. Thank you guys so much for putting out such amazing content. I love you guys. Okay. Bye.
Well, this one is hard, babe.
Not really.
What?
No, this one's good. I like this question. So the things that opposite in terms of an activity,
okay,
is I'm obsessed with poker and you cannot stand it.
No, I hate it. I think it's stupid.
Right, but it's actually a really high level mental game. But
I don't care.
Okay, we know that. And you've made that clear everywhere we go. But so that's one thing that we have a difference on. But she does support me and she does come out and she'll do commentary and make an appearance and promote the game for me. And it's really nice and sweet. So that's something that I feel like very different. But on the flip side of that is she obsesses over Real Housewives of every city and watches it on rerun for hours at a time and commandeers the TV. And so that is something I have zero interest in and have to tolerate. So we both have those things. But what do we have in common? I mean, I think we have everything in common. I mean, we're very different people, but we have obviously the same loves and passions. I mean, we both love each other, and that's something that we put a lot of time in.
Yes.
We both care about family, and she, cares very much about, you know, she's a family person. She's very close with her mom and her brother, and she loves my children, you know, and so I think family is very important. Her family is very important to me, and we work hard at that. And then the other thing I would say that we're very similar in terms of activities is we're equally obsessed with pickleball. But that's on a athletic, I wouldn't call my ability athletic.
You're
but
very athletic when you do it. You're really good.
Okay.
Your serve is like that of a professional. Ben Johns told me that.
Okay. So but probably aside from that, not that athletic. But the thing is that I think that her and I...
And we're both goers. Like, we like to travel and we like adventures. And
yeah, we like to... That's a good one. Because I think that's from
like
your perspective.
Where you can sit there and be like, hey, I was thinking we're going to just like...
Rent an
get
RV.
An RV. Exactly.
Yeah. And we're see, like, we said that at the same time.
I know.
But I think, I think we both love to travel. We both love adventure. I think we're not afraid of the unknown. And even if we are, we'll just...
But she said what we both obsess over, and I think we're both pretty obsessed with each other, which is a good thing.
Yeah. What did you just say?
You're obsessed with me.
You live for me.
Okay, I agree. I just said that.
Okay.
You're the one that's...
Is this another petty thing where you're going to archive me? I'm just curious.
I don't know. Maybe don't fuck around and then you won't have to find out. Next question. Next voicemail.
Hey, Lala and Randall. I just want to say that you guys truly, truly crack me up, whether I'm driving, cleaning the house. I seriously laugh out loud listening to you guys. I also just had a question for you guys. I am afraid of flying, and I just wanted to know if you guys had any tips on, I truly want to travel and go to different places. So what is your advice on that? Love you guys. Shout out from Ohio.
Oh, that's a good question.
This is a good one for you.
Yeah, so I am, the people don't believe this, Because I travel more than most people travel, you know, ever, and they should never travel as much as I've had to travel. But so I have the biggest fear of flying, and through that fear, I have an obsession for aviation. So I know I study airplane disasters and accidents and all this stuff. And I've made friends with many, many pilots over the years. And, so here's what I'll say. I helped two of my friends overcome their fear of flying. Two of my friend Craig Castell, who's an agent at William Morris, I helped him. He had not flown, and I convinced and got him to fly on a private plane with me to overcome his fear. And here's what I'll say. I am the worst flyer, but because I'm so educated, I'm able to fly as much as I do. So all I'm going to say is this, and pilots tell me this. The air, when it starts to get turbulent, you just got to think of it as like waves in the ocean or bumps on the road. The plane is not going to crash, you know, through turbulence. I mean, the chances are, you know, very, very 0.0001%.
Don't you have a higher chance of dying in a car crash?
Yes, you do have a higher chance, they say, in a car crash than you would in an airplane. Here's what I'll say. Do not let life go by because of your fear. You know, they have fear of flying courses that you can do online. I would definitely suggest doing it. It is unbelievable. They really explain to you the mechanics of airplanes so that you understand how well they're built. They explain to you weather and turbulence and heat and winds just so that you don't get nerves when you fly. And I just want to say one thing. Fear of flying, they're the best courses in the world. And then go with one of your best friends, somebody you trust, and I'm telling you this, somebody you trust, one of your best friends, and here's what I recommend. Go on a 30-minute flight. Take a 30-minute flight from one small city to another small city so that you know you're just going to go up and right down, basically, and do that to start. Then try an hour flight. Then, you know what I mean? And work your way to know and get that comfort if you're that. Because I understand, because I am very scared of flying, but, you know, it is a beautiful thing and a magical thing. You just have to, you know, work yourself through it. Okay.
Randall is very passionate about, I heard that voicemail and I was like, oh, Randall's going to go crazy over this.
I could do a whole episode. You know what we're going to do? I just came with a great idea. I know Lala's going to be like, oh my God, another idea for another episode. We are going to do a fear of flying episode.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to bring our pilot,
okay,
Eddie, and his wife.
I love that idea.
Right, we're going to have them for one segment, talk about their experience of flying. And we're also going to bring on an expert aviation specialist who specializes in the fear of flying. Because you know what? I think this is great for everybody. No matter how much you fly or don't fly, it's interesting.
That's actually a really great idea.
We're doing that.
No, I really love it.
Okay.
And by the way, if you do have a fear of flying, also just like pack some ZQL in your bag and take that before you get on the plane. It's alcohol free.
Okay. Oh, really?
It's like I don't want to say natural, but it's a sleep aid. I know this because I just do. Take some ZQL, knock yourself out. That's what I say.
Okay, I disagree with that.
I don't have a fear of flying.
No, but for somebody like me, it's like, I want to know everything that's going on the plane.
Adrenaline is
going to kick this. Right, yes. There's no chance I'm going to sleep. By the way, I'm the kind of guy that when I fly from LA to London, which is a 10-hour flight through the middle of the night, I'm generally up 90% of the flight.
Yeah.
So, I agree with Lala. If you're not afraid of things, but if you are, have the fear, it is a real fear. You're suspended at 38,000 to 43,000 feet. And it's scary if it's something that you fear. So anyway, we are dedicating the next episode to you.
Oh my gosh, Randall's two passions. Fear of flying and poker. All right. All right, you guys, this was an awesome podcast. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Give Them Lala with Randall. And we will catch you next week.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.